left off last week, we were discussing who is considered to be a karo, who is considered to be a relative for the purposes of avelus. So we said that the halacha is patterned after the dinim of tumas kohanim. Whoever a person is betame for, when a kohen is betame for somebody, so that's considered to be close enough for a relative for avelus to kick in. So we had a machlekes rishonim last week. Is that connection really a connection with the Raisa? If you hold that Avelus is deraisa, at least the first day of Avelus is deraisa, so then Taka, there really is a connection to deraisa. All the dinim of Avelus are learned out from Tumas Kohanim. So then exactly who the Torah says you matami for, that's you mezavah for. According to those who shun, will say that Avelus is on the midirabon, even the first day is on the midirabon, and then obviously the connection is not as ironclad. It just means that the Chamum of Masaka and Avelus ke'ein the din deraisa of Krovim vis-a-vis Tumas Kohanim. So the mice with all the dust settles, the din is basically the same. The din is. The din is the two cross paths. So the din is that the halachas of avelos are the ma'isa pattern really do follow the deraisa of the rabbanon after the din of tumas kohanim. There's only one karov, one relative that's a little bit tricky, both in hilchas tumas kohanim and hilchas avelos that we started to mention. I think at the end of the shiur last week, that was the issue of a wife. A wife, a husband, is not mentioned in the Chumash explicitly as an actual relative. So I think we ended the Shilas with the Rambam Shita, if I'm not mistaken. If the Rambam writes that in Uchinami, that a husband is not metame for a wife, midin krovim, he's metame for a wife based on a totally different halacha. He's metame for a wife based on a din of meis mitzvah. But since the husband is the one who's ultimately responsible to bury his wife, so the Kohen's going to turn around and say, no, I'm not comfortable, I'm not participating. So everyone else is going to say, we're also not participating. So we're afraid that Chalil is going to be a lack of kavod ameis, so no one's going to take care of this woman. So that falls into the category of a meis mitzvah. So Chazal evaluated and are willing to treat the person's wife like a halacha, like a meis mitzvah. That's the shittas of Rambam. So the Ramban disagrees with this Rambam. The Ramban says there's no such halacha. That's not called a meis mitzvah. The Ramban says that the reason why a kohen is allowed to be metami, is mechuyev to be metami for his wife, is al tumas krovim, that she's a relative of his. Where does it say in the Chumash that she's a relative? It says kiim l'she'era karvelov. So she'era means she'er bosa, means it's literally as close as of his flesh. So a wife is your closest relative, even though she's not a blood relative, but she's a she'er basarcha. So therefore, according to the Ramban, you're betami for a kohen is betami for a wife as a din of tumas krovim, not al tumas mitzvah. Therefore, there's avelus for a wife midaraisa, according to the view of the Ramban. If you would hold that avelus as deraisa, where did Ram get this idea from? That a wife is not really a relative, a wife is really a meis mitzvah. Who told the Ram that's called a meis mitzvah? So the Ram got it from a Gemara, the end of Maseches Yevamos. The Gemara is talking about a situation where a person is married to a woman only midrabanan. How could he only be married midrabanan? So those already learned a little bit of Yevamos. So this part of Yevamos is really the second half of Yevamos. It's popped in here and there a little bit in Yevamos, but it's really primarily towards the end of Yevamos. But the Gemara speaks about what's called Kiddushei Miyun. Kiddushin means, min HaTorah, a father has the authority to marry off his little girl till the age of 12 and a half. It's not a good idea. The Gemara frowns upon marrying off your girl until she's 12. If she's over 12, the Gemara says that's okay. In the old days, that was all right. As man as that, nobody should ever do this. There was one Meshuggah a couple of years ago who said he's married off his girl before she was 12. It was a whole Tanamachim. But a normal person obviously doesn't do that as man as that. In the olden days, people got married mamash at that age. So that was the norm in society, to get married so young. So the Torah gives the father the koach to actually marry off the daughter until she's 12 and a half. The Gemara says at the beginning of the Sechah Berakah Kiddushin that until she's 12, it's not a good idea. Even Bizman Chazal, it wasn't a good idea. Because he's going to marry off the five-year-old. She's not going to be happy with the husband. She gets to reach the age of 12. Now she's old enough to express an opinion who she wants to marry. But strictly speaking, Min HaTorah, the father does have the authority, he has that power to marry off his little girl. But that power is only given to the father, it's not given to the mother, it's not given to the brothers. So Midarais, if the father is no longer alive, then it's not going to be to marry off this girl. So Midarabanan, they made a takana that sometimes it is in the girl's best interest to get married, especially in the case where the father is no longer alive, the girl's Yasoma, who's going to take care of her. So sometimes it's in the girl's best interest to get her married very, very young. So Min HaTorah, there's nothing to do. She's under bas mitzvah. She can't be makabel kiddushin yet. But the father's not alive anymore. So what do you do? So the rabbanon, they made a takana that the mother and the brothers could accept kiddushin on her behalf. Min HaTorah, there's no such thing. Min HaTorah, only the father or the girl after she's 12. But mid the rabbanon, they were misachay that the mothers and the brothers could do it. Since it's only a kiddushin mid the rabbanon, they built in a safeguard into it. It's called miyun. When the girl, right before she turns 12, she can come to Beis and say she doesn't want to marry this guy. the brother and the mother's married off to this guy, she's not interested, so she doesn't need a get. If the father was Makabel Kedushin for her, then she's Mekudeshes Min HaTorah, then of course she needs a get. But if the brother and the mother were Makabel Kedushin for her, then it's only Midrabanan, then there's no need for a get, as long as she does Mion at the right time, right before she turns the Bas Mitzvah. This halacha of Mion, this Mishnah, is the whole parak in the end of Masechet Yevamos about the din of Kedushin Mion, this din has not really been practiced for quite some time. The last time that we have on record of anybody actually doing this, halacha of Mion, come to Bezin and be mine, was done in the days of one or two generations before the days of the Ramah. The Ramah lived in the early 1500s, so the Ramah Nevin Ezer writes that his Rebbe's Rebbe, Rabbi Yaakov Polak, the Ramah learned by somebody whose name was Rav Sholem Shachna. He also became his son-in-law. The Ramah first was a Talmud of Rav Sholem Shachna, and then the Ramah married Rav Sholem Shachna's daughter. So Rav Sholem Shachna's Rebbe was Rav Yaakov Polak. Rav Yaakov Polak was the first one to start the first yeshiva in Poland. The Jews, this was already in the 1300s, the Jews were first starting to leave, not in a good way leaving Germany, they were basically being killed all over Germany, so there were a lot of pogroms and Maislach and post the Black Death, it was a big, a lot of things going on in the Jewish communities there. So the Jews started to move eastward, believe it or not, at that time the Poles were actually opening up their borders and inviting the Jews to come to, obviously for their own financial reasons, but they invited the Jews en masse to come. So the Jews started to migrate eastward. So it was at this time where Yaakov Polak was the first real Rosh Yeshiva in Poland. So he founded a yeshiva, and his Talmud was Rav Sholem Shachna, and Rav Sholem Shachna's Talmud was the Ramah. So the Ramah viewed him as in a sense, the grandfather Rebbe. So the Ramah writes that Rav Yaakov Polak's Beisdin, he once was Masadir Amiyun. There was once a Maisa Shoyek Achoya, that a little girl's father died, and the father and the brothers married her off, and he did Miyun, like it says in the Mishnayos. So at the time, there were many Rabbanim who were opposed to it, but apparently, since it wasn't so common, so people were getting very confused. They saw, here's a girl who's been married for 5 years, and then she comes to Beis, and Beis is like, hey, you're free. You can go free. No get, no nothing. So people, not everybody learned the end of Yevamos. Tafiyom, we didn't get there. It took 7 years to get there. No one was learning Tafiyom in those days. So the Hamonam never heard of this. Did Mion. It had been out of practice for hundreds of thousands of years. No one ever heard of it. So a lot of the Rabbanim were very, very upset. They thought that it's going to lead to a big mikshel. People are going to think that married women just come to Beis and complain, and they go free. So the other Rabbanim in Poland at the time said, you shouldn't do Mions anymore. We should abolish the whole practice of doing Mion. So the Ramah quotes this discussion that took place between his Rebbe's Rebbe and the other Rabbanim in Poland, and apparently that seems to be the last recorded case, at least that I know of Mion actually being done. But at least it's nice, it's on the books. In theory, there is such a halach of Mion.
Young girl ever
lived with this? Yeah, she's been living with the guy for 5 years. She's been whatever. As long as she's not 12 years old yet. So right before she turns 12, then she can be my enes, and it just uproots the whole thing, because the whole thing is on a midrabanan anyway. Yeah, even a kohen can marry, because she's not a grusha. She's not a grusha. She turns out she never had kedushin in the first place. The whole thing was midrabanan, so they uprooted the whole kedushin, I'm afraid. That's a sugya. The end of Masechet Yevamos. Give Daf Yomi about a month and a half, 2 months to get to the sugyas. Anyway, get back to the story. So the Gemara raises a question in the sugyas of Mion. Let's say she's married to a kohen. Let's say this little girl is married with the rabbanon to the kohen, and then she dies. So strictly speaking, they're not really married. Midaraisa, they're not really married. So who's going to take care of a funeral? So the Gemara says, no, that the Kohen, her husband, quote-unquote husband, is allowed to be mitame for her. So the Gemara says, how in the world can we be mitame for her? They're not married midaraisa. She's not his relative midaraisa. So the Gemara says, oh, but she's still a base mitzvah. That if the husband doesn't take care of her, so it turned out she'll end up, no one's going to take care of her, she'll end up being a base mitzvah. So the Rambam took that Gemara and said that when the Gemara said that a wife is a base mitzvah, the Gemara didn't only mean in that one crazy Mishur Nadika case. The Gemara meant that's all the time. That was not the exception to rule. That was the rule. It means just as the Gemara says that a wife midrabanan, you only mitami for b'taras meis mitzvah, so to every wife you only mitami b'taras meis mitzvah. And the Ramban says, no, the Ramban says that's the exception to the rule. The real rule is you mitami for your wife because she's your relative.
Where's that Gemara?
That's a good question. You can pay tests and you must give or take a lot here and there. I mean, if the Shia. So the Rambam and the Ramban are taking two radically different approaches to how do we try that Gemara. According to the Rambam, that's the Gemara that sheds light on all of Tumas Kohanim for wives. That is all B'taras Meis Mitzvah. But according to the Ramban, yeah, that's the Yetzer Menachah. That's exception to the rule. But the reason why a Kohen is B'tami for his wife is because it's She'eiro.
This machlekes a rishonim, whether a kohen is tami for his wife mitarais mitara's relative, and therefore it spills over to avelos. There's avelos for a wife mitarais. So whether the din of tumas kohenim for a wife is based on meis mitzvah, but she's not really his relative. This is not just a tumas kohenim avelos. This is a question called tarkula. How do you define the word she'ero? The word she'ero appears in other areas of halacha. Let's say the Moshe, the Torah says that there's Yerusha for She'er Basar. A person is Yorish, they're relatives, they're She'er Basar. So there's Machlaikis, Hatanoi, Machlaikis, Amarayim. There's a husband Yorish, a wife, Min HaTorah, or Mid Rabbanim. There's a din that a husband Yorish is a wife. That's not a question. Mishnayis, that a husband Yarshin is a wife. When a wife dies, so the first Yorish is going to be the husband. So the Gemara presents a Machlaikis in Tanoim and Amarayim. Is that a din Min HaTorah, is that a din Mid Rabbanim? Where is it? Pasuk in Chumash Mishnah that a husband and Yashin's a wife. So one of the pesukim the Gemara quotes is the pasuk in Parshas Pinchas. Nesatem lachalosol she'era karveila. The Torah uses the lashon she'er, and a wife is considered to be she'era, she'er boso, she'er exus viyona. She's considered to be his she'era. So one Tana says Yush Sabal is midderais, and the other Tana says nah, the whole Yush Sabal is only midderabbanan. So it's not surprising that the Rambam happens to pasuk like that sheet that Yush Sabal is only midderabbanan, because the Rambam holds that a wife and a husband are not really relatives. They're very close, but they're not relatives. Relatives is blood relatives. The halachic concept of a karov means a blood relative. Husband and wife have a very, very close, quote-unquote, relationship, but it's not a she'er basar dikar relationship, because the Rambam holds that she'er basar can only refer to a blood relative. That's what I was reading on the back of the, you know, just no play, when they handed out the things you have to hand in when you're in customs. So when it says in the top line, it says one per family. So I was always flying myself, it wasn't enough for me. Anyway, one per family. So then I just noticed it said a definition of what's called a family. So it said family is defined by either people living in the same residence, and that's maybe not really halakhically necessary, but for their purposes it's necessary, who are either blood relatives or related by marriage, and then they gave a few other odds and ends examples that are not relevant for us right now, but it said marriage or blood relatives. That's the machlokes rishonim. That's machlokes the Rambam and the Ramban. I said the Rambam holds that's not true. And Rambam, you have to cross out that line. According to the Rambam, only blood relatives is called a family. A wife is a different type of relationship, but it's not a family. And according to the Ramban, no, once you get married. So that relationship, that bond of marriage, creates the status of she'er basar, even with deraisa. So according to the Ramban, probably Yush Sabal would be deraisa.
So you back up that machlokes all the way to Kedushin?
Well, I mean, Kedushin definitely creates some kind of relationship. The question is, does it create this new halacha called the She'er?
No, so would Rambam then hold that the whole Kedushin is like a Durabanim based?
No. Kedushin, the Chalos Kedushin is for sure deraisa. The fact that a couple is married, that's a din deraisa. A woman's nation is deraisa.
How does it go from a din deraisa, in which this relationship that's this... it's chal, a deraisa type of...
There's a relation, there's a chalos of ishus.
Ishus,
but ishus is not she'erus. She'erus is a different thing. She'erus is a family tie. So there are certain halachas in the Torah that depend upon family ties. So let's say Lamashal, Tumas Kona depends upon family ties. Avelos depends upon family ties. Yerusha depends upon family ties. So the Rambam has this theme throughout all of these family ties that blood creates family. That's it. There's no other, you can't buy relatives. You can't get relatives. You can't meet new relatives. That's it. You're born, whoever your biological DNA relatives are, those are your relatives for life. That's the Rambam Shita. You have a relationship with your wife, it's a different kind of relationship. But according to the Rambam, that does not create the din of Tumas Krovim, it doesn't create the din of Yerusha, it doesn't create the din of Avelos Midaraisa. Midrabanan, yeah, Midrabanan, you're Mitami for your wife. Midrabanan, there's Avelos, Midrabanan, there's Yerusha. But in the pure, perfect Diraisa, there is no such thing. So this is a running Machlekes, the Rambam and the Rambam. This din of Avelos, which really the things that we're learning, which is, again, ultimately a result of Tumas Kohanim, even if you hold that there's a din of Avelos deraisa for a wife, and you hold that there's a din of Tumas Krovim for a wife, it's all based on the word She'er, and the word She'er actually does not kick in at the time of Kedushin. Yeah, the Gemara says this explicitly back in the second Berakh of Yevamos, that let's say you have a wife who's only in Arusa, the husband only was Mekadosh, or he gave her a ring, and they haven't yet had Nisuin. Bizman Azeh, this would never really happen. But in the olden days, So a couple first had Kiddushin, then they waited out 6 months, a year, whatever the minig was, and then later they had Nisuin. They went to the Chuppah, they had Yichud, whatever the definition of Nisuin is. So in that interim period, the woman is considered to be an Eishes Ish. A person is Mezara with the Chayev Misa, she's considered to be a full-fledged Eishes Ish, but she is considered to be what we call in Halacha an Eishes Ish, Shalom Beveis Habal, because they're not living together as husband and wife. So what, my nafkamina, that they're not living together as husband and wife, well, what's the difference if she's an Eishes Ish anyway? So even according to those Rishonim, like the Ramban and others who say that marriage does create She'erus, it's only Nisuin that creates She'erus. Because the word She'er means She'er Basar, means a couple, mamish closeness of flesh, literally flesh, which means when they're living together, mamish physically as husband and wife, then and only then they become She'er Basar. So even according to those who disagree with the Rambam, at the stage of Erusin, so there is no She'erus at all. That's why Halach Lamai said there would not be any din of Tumas Kohanim, and there wouldn't be any din of Avelus, there wouldn't be any din of Yerusha. That's Beferish in the Gemara, that just because a couple is married, that doesn't necessarily mean that they have the status of She'er Basar, even according to those who disagree with the Rambam. Can you have another time? Can you have any? Nesu'un or Chuppah. Used it to change them.
Right.
Whatever the definition of Nesu'un is.
And would relations change the...
Once you have Nesu'un, whether or not they literally had B or not, that wouldn't make a difference. Once they have Neshem Nesu'un. There is a question, can you have a couple that's married already? They've been married already for 50 years. Is there anything that can happen to break up their status of marriage? So of course, marriage itself, the Kedushin part, the Ishus, Dine Ishus, can only be broken up either by Mises Abaal or with a get. But is there any way to somehow retain the status of Ishus and something can perhaps tamper with the Din She'er Basar? Is there any way to remove the Din She'er Basar? So there was a Rashbam at the very end of Maseches Baba Basra that says that if a couple is planning on getting divorced, so even though they haven't quite gotten to the base, and he didn't quite right to get yet, but the Zaitol is Garish, they're already planning on getting divorced, so then that's a halachic status, and that loses the status of She'er Basar. She'er Basar means that the couple is Omed Lekach, to be living together as normally husband and wife. So if they're in the state of Erusin, where they're not allowed to have relations yet, or even if they're in the state of Nesu'un for 50 years, but Lamai said they're not planning on being together anymore because they're planning on separating ways, so even though they haven't technically gotten get yet, so she's still Osinah, she's still an Eishes Ish, but she takes on the status like an Arusa, says the Rashbam, and now there wouldn't be any din of Tumas Kohanim, there wouldn't be any din of Yerusha, and there wouldn't be any din of Avelus, according to this Rashbam. So that's a big Bichiddush.
Now that any time when a woman would theoretically be usher to her husband, whether he's a kohen and she was honest, or any type of relationship that.
So that would be like an arusa and anasus. The Gemara actually has a shot about that, where the yesh chup lepsulos, where the whole suffix in Yavamas, can you even create the chalos nesuah with the woman who's asura to get married to in the first place.
Or she marries someone else, then he remarries.
Right, right. So that's a whole suffix in the Gemara about that. Right, in Yavamas.
So
it would be a similar idea. It would be a similar idea. It's a similar idea, yeah. The Rashbam is talking about a situation where nothing compelled them to reach this decision. They decided on their own to get divorced. So the Rashbam is saying now they become back like the state, like the status, of Erusin, that she's considered to be an Eishes Ish, albeit she's not considered to be a She'er. So the Rashbam, the original statement of the Rashbam, actually was talking about Yerusha. So other Rishonim and Baba Basra say there's no such thing. The Gemara that led the Rashbam to that conclusion, other Rishonim say it's not at all what the Gemara meant, no such halacha. So is any of this relevant for us at all? So the Rashash, in his parish in the back of Baba Basra, he writes that he thinks that in Hilchos Avelus we should follow this Rashbam. And the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention this. Michal Shulchan Aruch, Ramah Shach, Taz, Hilchos Avelus, the classic poskim don't talk about this case. But the Rashash writes that he thinks we should follow this Lamaisa. Why? In Hilchos Avelus, we have a rule called Allah Kadivir HaMekel Ba'avel. We're very, very lenient in Hilchos Avelus. So if such a shayla would ever come up, that you have a couple that already have separated, you have this Lamaisa, a couple already legally separated. They're not living together as husband and wife, but they haven't finished the proceedings of a get, and now one of the spouses die, so then there wouldn't be Avelus. That's what Rashash says, because they're not considered to be like She'er Basar anymore. So I didn't have the shayla yet, but I had to answer the shayla for somebody. I spoke about this in the shul on a Friday night. I think it was a friend a couple of weeks ago. Maybe it was a Shabbos afternoon. I forgot already. A couple of weeks ago, somebody called me. I'm a crazy Shiloh. There's a couple that they're over 90, and they've been married for 60 years. And I spoke about it one Shabbos. They're over. I'm not for here. They're over 90. They've been married for 60 years. They want to get divorced. So they wanted to know. So the woman says, listen, they're getting divorced legally, separating, whatever it is. And she said, listen, we're not interested in going to Beis Din. What do they get? She said, I'm 91 years, I'm not remarrying. What do I need to get? I said, I'm not going anywhere anyway. So she said, but do we have to go bother getting a get? So I spoke about a get is not really a mitzvah. It's not like chalitza. Chalitza, some poskim say, if a woman needs chalitza, so even though she doesn't plan on getting remarried, chalitza may be a mitzvah. Get is not a mitzvah. Get is a matir. For the woman who wants to get remarried, she get again. So I tried to explain to our Rav who called me. I said, you know, usually a woman gets divorced, she gets a get. I'm going to tell she has to get a get. I said, maybe she got it. It was such a modern setup. So I told this Rav, I said, I don't think you should tell this to this couple, but I said that everyone should live, I can't say happily ever after together, but everyone should live whatever it is, if I may have asked him, but imtum tiloma that they don't get a get, and one of them is going to die, I mean, they were over 90, so one of them is going to die, and they don't have a get, so there'll be a shayel nuchas avelus, whether they're technically, because halachically they're still married. What? There'll be enough communities. Yeah, enough communities. Yeah, I think they were rewriting all their stuff. Yeah. There'll be enough stuff. Communities Ladina. That funny status of being where halachically they're still married, but lemaisa physically they're not living together as husband and wife anymore. So that creates a status in halacha that's somewhat cloudy in terms of do we know whether they're really considered to be married or not for these areas of halacha. So I said, listen, that wasn't the reason to insist them to get a get just in case someone dies. I'm just pointing out to that Rav, you should just be aware of the fact that if something happens in the near future, so then you're going to have to ask a shayla in terms of Hilchos Aveilus. Usually I don't like to, you don't want, if somebody asks you a shayla about something else, you don't want to tell them that, by the way, if somebody dies, you can have Hilchos Aveilus shayla in your hands. I didn't think the couple would prefer, would necessarily wanted to hear that outcome of that psalm, but just was over that to the Rav who asked the shayla. Anyway, strange shaylas. Anyway, getting back to that story. So we're still trying to figure out who are the relatives in the Chumash and who are not. So the Torah is very clear about some of them, a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, a brother. And then there's another one that's a little bit tricky. If you have a sister, so can a koi be mitami for her sister? So it depends. If she was never married, so then he's mechuyev to be mitami for her. If she was already married, so then no. Then he's not mitami. Ferish apostle in Chumash. I just had the shemamish last week. Someone called me the shayla. A Kohen's sister died. So the way the question was being presented, that the Kohen's going to Levaya. So I stopped and said, what do you mean the Kohen's going to Levaya? I said, is his sister married? I said, yeah, of course she's married. And the sister was a grandmother already. I said, she can't come to Levaya. So the person was like, it's a sister. I said, it's a posse in Chumash. I said, L'chosa b'sula krova elav ashello haisa li ishlo yitava. If she was married, of course she's not allowed to come. So I'm fairish a posse in Chumash. So the Rishon of Machlek is how this spills over in terms of Hilchos Aveilus. So there's no question that the Kohen cannot go to the Levaya of his married sister. Got to stand outside with the other Kohanim. But there is a question in the Rishonim, is there Aveilus deraisa? So again, a Bidder Rabban for sure is going to be Aveilus, but would there be Aveilus deraisa, assuming that Aveilus is deraisa? So the Rambam has a startling statement. The Rambam writes that there would be Aveilus deraisa for the married sister. Even though there wouldn't be too much Kohanim, but there still would be Aveilus deraisa. Even though she was married. And the Ramban says, how can that be? The Ramban says, if Hilchos Aveilus follows Hilchos Tumas Kohanim, so how in the world how does that make any sense? So what exactly is going on? What exactly is Nekudas HaMachlekes Nirishanim? So L'chor the Machlekes is as follows. When we say that Aveilus follows Tumas Kohanim, it's not an absolute ironclad equation. There has to be some exceptions to that rule. There has to be some situations where a person is not permitted to be mitame, and yet there is still considered to be avelos. Let's say lemoshel, there's a din what's called the mechusa eva. The person dies, and then a limb is removed after his death. It means his body, when it's being buried, is not buried bishlemusa. So the din is happens to be a that a kohen is not mitame for that. Why? There's a din that the kohen is not mitame for mechusa eva. So would anybody say that if a kohen is not mitame for the mechusa eva, so then there wouldn't be avelos deraisa? That doesn't make any sense. So what's pshat? Why is that so obviously not true? When we say that there's a connection between Tumas Kohanim and Aveilus, what it means is like this. When you're defining who's called a relative, so a relative is defined by X, Y, and Z. So the model of relatives in the Chumash is the relatives of Parshas Emor of Tumas Kohanim. The fact that there's a quirk, there's a yaitzim and a klal that somebody you're not metame for because there's a special prod, special detail in Hukos Tumas Kohanim, you're not metame for such a person, no connection we get that to Chazavelus. So what's that? That was a bad pun. I didn't mean that pun. But those who heard the pun, don't get that. Okay. Well, it wasn't meant. So there's no connection at all between the two. It's just a connection in terms of defining who a relative is. So the Chora, the Rambam is very schwer. How could the, I'm sorry, the Rishonim were jumping on the Rambam, the Chora is a little bit schwer. Because the fact that the Torah says that a married sister, So you're not metame for a married sister. Why is that? She's not your relative? Of course she's your relative. She's the same relative as she was before she got married. Of course she's your blood relative. How is she still considered to be related to you? Elawah is a court. There's a din. There's a prada nuchas tumas koronim. You want to philosophize what the prada is all about. Maybe because the Torah says the husband's taking care of her. Maybe not. I don't know why. You can give whatever drush, whatever sermon you want to give. Tachas, that's the pasuk in Chumash. L'chos ha'besula shelo ha'isaliyish. So one could argue that that difference, that distinction between achosu abesula versus achosu anesua, that has nothing to do with achos avelos. That's a din achos tumas kainim. My name is achos avelos. The same way that the person who's mechusar eiver, there's no tumah, but there is avelos. Avelos and tumah aren't mamish hayad in hand, literally married to one another. The din of avelos is that you want to figure out who's a relative, so you look to the model of achos tumas kainim. But you can have people you're not mitami for, you are misabel for. There's no steer between those two. So what's pshat? Mechusar eiver, a person missing a limb, a person lost a limb after death. So most Hashem say after death. Some Hashem say even before death. Let's say after death. So there's no din of tumah for such a person. You're not metame. The Kohen cannot go to the funeral for such a person.
Even for a relative, even a brother, even a parent.
So one can argue that there's a fundamental question.
Is that an internal organ or an external organ?
That's a further shayla. It's a further question. It's a further question about that. Poskim talk about the autopsy, all kind of kunsim, they talk about that, all kind of shouts. We assume it's after death. So why should we even think of making this bridge between Tumas Kohanim to say there's a distinction of Tumas Kohanim that only for an unmarried sister, not for a married sister? Why should we even dream of carrying that over? Why does the Ramban carry that over? So the answer is as follows. This din that the Torah says that you're not mitame for a married sister. What's pshat in that? What kind of halacha is that? So you can present that in one of two ways. Either you could say that, that's what it says in the Chumash, there's no rhyme or reason for it to make sense to us. Or you could say no. What the Torah is saying is that when your sister gets married, she basically leaves your family. She's not really part of your family anymore. There's a change in the family dynamics. She's not considered to be Shia Basar anymore. I mean, she's still technically your sister. Forgive your Raya, she's still your sister. But in terms of Hilchas Sheiris, in terms of Hilchas Krovim, so once she enters into Beis Isha, she goes into her husband's house. So she leaves your family circle, she goes into the husband's family circle. So that's why the Torah says you're not mitami for her, because she's not really a full-fledged sister anymore. If that's the lumdus, then it makes a lot of sense to carry that over to Hilchas Avelus. Just as she's not your full-fledged sister in Hilchas Tumah, she's not your full-fledged sister in Hilchas Avelus as well. So it's not such a big jump between the two. So the Machlokes is showing him whether that distinction of the Chumash vis-a-vis Tumas Kohanim, does that make any sense to carry that over to Hilchas Avelus? It sounds like that's what they're arguing about. What's the nature of that distinction in Hilchas Tumah? Is it a distinction just like Xeris HaKosov? And therefore, it has no connection or relationship to Hilchas Avelos. Or do I say no? That it's a did in relationships, it's a did in family structure, and that distinction that Torah is drawing between a married sister and an unmarried sister makes a lot of sense in Hilchas Avelos. At the end of the day, there's not too much nafkamina. There's a lot of lumdus. Today's shiur was 90% lumdus, not too much lamaisa, because at the end of the day, there's Avelos for everybody. There's Avelos for married sisters, for unmarried sisters, for wives, midderabonim, midderaisa. We pass in all of Avelos as derabonim. The whole thing doesn't make much of a difference. But in terms of understanding conceptually, in the perfect world, in the world deraisa, who's considered to be a relative? So we have two very real shadows on the table. Is a wife really considered to be related to you? Is your married sister really considered to be related to you? Are those full relatives? Or do I say no? That those relationships may really change.
So do we follow that thought from the reverse? Meaning if the person holds that she's now not part of your family, she's part of the husband's family, does the Rishonim who hold that she's now part of the husband's family, hold she's part of the husband's family, and therefore
she's not part of the...
Right.
I mean, do those shittas match up? So it could be the shittas match up. You have to look at all the Rishonim and see the shittas match.
The Rambam holds that she's not.
No, because the Rambam holds that you're not metame for your wife, because the Rambam holds that marriage doesn't really change family dynamics. So that's why the Rambam holds that even though you're not allowed to be metame for your married sister, that's exercical. So you are misabel with the raisa, because the Rambam is l'shitoso that marriage doesn't really change the family dynamics. Family dynamics is declared by blood. And the other Rishonim, the Ramban and others, hold that marriage does. Ben l'kul ben l'chumus. You're right. The shittas may match up. Right. So it's interesting because when I said the shiurim in Hilchas Avelos, First time around, I said this in California, one of those summers I used to run the Beth Jacob Kollel. So somebody, one of the boys there, printed up all the notes. So just I was just looking over the notes quickly before. So there was a note on the bottom that said one of the Tamidim was Ma'orer, that these two Shailas seem to depend one on another. So he's right. So you mechav into that Talmud. And the original shurim, I didn't say it, but then when the guy wrote up the note, so he said, oh, Vayefta was one of the boys that added on that Nekuda to the Shia. So you're right. Very good. Okay. Anyway, getting back to the story. So the one thing that seems to be very, very clear is that the relatives have to be biological relatives, that's for sure, in order to be real Hochas Avelus. Can you have a situation where you have someone who's technically, according to the DNA, a biological relative, but halachically they're no longer considered to be a relative? So there is a whole sugya, also in Maseches Yevamos, in a few places, about the status of Geirim. Geirim have a very unique status in terms of their relationship with their, number one, with their non-Jewish relatives, and even a relationship with their potential Jewish relatives. Let's say if the whole family converts together, so a father, mother, a whole bunch of children, non-Jewish children, everyone converts together. So the Gemara says, technically speaking, Gershon is Gaya Kakut and Shinoi Ladami, that each person who converts is considered like they're literally born again. Each one is considered to be a new person. And technically, they're not really related to their previous biological relatives. In a Torah, they're not considered to be related. So how does this play out in terms of Hochas Avelos? So the Pashas Advarim is that with Hakabi no Avelos and in Ochanabi, even though they're the father and the mother, the children, they're all living together as a whole family unit, the same way they were last week when they were Goyim. Now they're living together as a family unit as Jews, but they're not really a family unit. Each one on their own. Geshen is Gak, you got Nishanel the dummy. So there is a Mordechai that suggests that maybe there would be Avelos based on the following reason. The Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos that in the second paragraph of Yevamos, that min haTorah, once a person converts, they're really allowed to marry anybody, even those people who are technically, physically, biologically related to them. So you can theoretically have a situation where min haTorah, ach nosei achaso, bein nosei es imayim, that no one's related to anyone anymore. All the share boss, all the ties of connection of family have been broken. Each person is considered to be a new person. Mid derai, they're permitted to marry whoever they want, including their biological relatives. The Gemara says that mid derabanan, they made it takana not to do that. One of the reasons why Chazal said not to do that is because it's going to be Shema Asi L'michlof. People are going to see, it doesn't look right. People are going to see that the brothers are marrying sisters. People are going to think, ooh, brother can marry a sister. A Jewish brother can marry a Jewish sister. And it's a kares. So that's one of the reasons. There's another reason also, Shlo Yom Ban Vidush Chamur. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But one of the reasons the Gemara says in the second paragraph of Yivam is that Shlo Yavel HaChlef, that we're afraid that Jews are going to get mixed up. If the Geirim can marry, brothers can marry sisters, parents can marry children. So the next thing, we're going to do that also. So they made a Gezerim with the Rabbanan. So the Mordechai says that maybe we should insist on these Geirim observing Avelos for one another, because if people are going to see that the Geirim don't keep Avelos, someone's going to see, oh, the rabbi in town Paskin, that brothers don't sit Shiva for sisters, parents don't sit Shiva for sisters. No one's sitting Shiva for anybody. It must be there's no Dirim of Shiva anymore. So people are going to think, well, because Avelos doesn't apply anymore, it's going to be a bad example. It's going to be set as a bad role model for Hilchas Avelos, so therefore Midir Rabbanan says the Mordechai, we should insist on them keeping Avelos. So the Ramah writes that we don't paskin like this Mordechai. Why don't we follow this Mordechai? Because the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos that this fear of Asi L'michlof is only applies when there's a chashash v'deraisa, like a real Issa Gili Arayis is going to happen. If the whole fear is going to be a derabanan, take a fear. Derabanan is a gezeira for a derabanan. What's the big deal? So the Ramah writes that the Mordechai must have held that Avelos is deraisa, like with the Rambam, like the Gaon, like the Rif, like we spoke about earlier on. But the Ramah says we pask in the halacha, like the Tais, like the Rosh, that Avelos is derabanan. Even the first day is derabanan. So we who are dealing with the worst case in every Issa derabanan, Shiv is only a din derabanan, big deal. So the Ramah says, so what's going to be the terrible mikshol that's going to happen? You're going to have a Geirim are not going to sit Shiva for one another. So someone's going to say, oh, you don't have to sit Shiva anymore. So what will happen? So when his relative dies, he won't sit Shiva. So it won't come to an end. It's only Nisa Dirabban. It's not like he's going to marry his sister. The chashash of Arayis is such a more serious area of halacha than Hilchas Avelos. So the chashash of Arayis, the Arayis, the Chachamim made a Gezerah Geirim out of Yisrael. But these lower level Yisurim, they never bothered making that Gezerah. That's what we pass in the halacha. The Mikra Din, there really is no Avelos. Sometimes you have a situation where a non-Jewish relative passes away, the person converted, and the non-Jewish parent passes away. So for sure there's no avelos. To anybody, there's no real avelos. Nevertheless, one has to be careful not to violate what the Gemara says. Also in the Sugya of Geirim, the Gemara says another reason why Chazal said that that the two Jewish geirim, the brother and sister, can't marry each other. That people shouldn't think, when these people were goyim, then they didn't marry each other, they didn't marry siblings. Now they became Jewish, now that's a hefkevel, they can do whatever they want. That's going to be a chil Hashem. People shouldn't say, we used to be very holy, and now we're not so holy anymore. So therefore, we have to, even though technically speaking they're not related anymore, not everybody understands that, shouldn't lead to the chil Hashem, so therefore we tell the brother and sister they can't marry each other. So that's what the post can point out here also. That if a non-Jewish relative dies, so when the Jewish relative gets the call, non-Jewish relative dies, oh, great, okay, no problem, we're going to dance at a wedding. So all the non-Jewish relatives think, hey, that's not right. If he would have been one of us, non-Jewish, he would have come and participated and been sad and mourning and done something. And now, because he broke ties with us, that's a bizarre, it's a chil Hashem. So therefore, the place came right that the ger, the Jewish relative, the ger has to do whatever the non-Jewish standards are. He doesn't have to sit shiv and shloish and be bishchad, he doesn't have to keep the holochas avelos, but whatever is considered to be the norm in the non-Jewish world. So if the non-Jewish world, their family gets together and they sit and they whatever they do, they refrain from going to a party for a day. So he should do that also. He shouldn't be less than what the goyish standards are. Lest people say, he doesn't have to go overboard, he doesn't have to keep holochas avelos, but he has to at least at a deference, with proper respect, he has to show that he's no worse than anybody else. That's what Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva. It was a Gyeres who called him with a Shaila. A parent was ill, and the parent lived out of town. It was going to be very difficult for her to go spend time and help out the parent. So she asked her Moshe, she's not really related to the parent anymore. So she bechuyev to do that. So Moshe said, not al tzuchas kibur aveim, but al shelo yom v'vonu v'kdusha chamura. He said, because it's such a chil Hashem. He said, besides the hakaras ha-toiv and gratitude, which is basic human decency, the Moshe says, because such a chil Hashem, you're going to turn around to the non-Jewish relatives and say, I'm sorry, I'm Jewish, so I don't keep kibur aveim anymore. So the Moshe says, that's terrible. It's a terrible chil Hashem. So you have to do whatever the standards are. So if they expect you to come and spend a week, they go spend a week there. Now you have to spend 10 years there. Maybe you have to stop everything and go take care of it. You have to do whatever the Goyish relatives expect of you. That's necessary in terms of Shlo Yomru. Then whatever HaKarsa Tov you want to do, you want to be a nice person, that's always wonderful. HaKarsa Tov is always a good thing. So here to Anuchas Avelos, you don't have to go overboard, but you can't be less than Goyish standards. It shouldn't lead to the chil Hashem. Okay, stop.
The combination? Starting raising axis is only with the combination.